Good morning, it's 6 a.m. and let's get started on our second daf here in Maseches Sota. We're on daf Beis, Amud Beis. Just a very exciting announcement for everybody is that TorahDownloads.com, which is sponsored by the Yehuda Mund Foundation from Baltimore, they have agreed to host our daf Yomi Shir. So no longer just a Dropbox folder or a Google Drive folder, but the Shir Bezrat Hashem will be accessible on the internet, on the computer, from a website. The first Shir was uploaded yesterday. Just have to send them a brief description. And hopefully I'll send you guys the link. I have your email addresses. I'll send you guys the link where you can access the shir. Just a point to know, because they're based in the U.S. and we give the shir here, which is in the middle of the night for them. So he plans to upload the shir. Reb Nechemya Mund plans to upload the shir sometime during the day for him. So we can expect that the day's shir for us will be uploaded during our evening time. So if anybody's away or if anybody misses the shir in the morning, it won't really be accessible right there and now, kind of on the way to work or wherever. But either I could send you the shir personally, or if somebody's traveling for a week or so, feel free to be on the yesterday's shir so they can wake up in the morning and access it like that. But either way, feel free to...
What's the website?
TorahDownloads.com. Imrit Hashem, I'll send you guys the links. You have it, TorahDownloads.com.
Torah with an H.
Torah with an H, I believe, yes. Torah with an H. And there's thousands of shirim on the website. They offer a tremendous service, and it's a privilege to be a part of it. Okay, let's hop in. A lot to do today. I feel like we're almost on a marathon on Mondays and Thursdays where we got to get it in for that extra 5 minutes. There's a few gemaras right here. Oh, the arts one. Perfect. Okay, great. Let us get started. So we're three lines down here from the wide lines on Daf Beis Amud Beis here in Maseches Sota. We all agreed that the Mishnah, we had Kinoi and Stira. Again, the Kinoi was the warning. The Stira was the excellent, the seclusion. Everybody agreed in the Mishnah, Rabbi Lezer and the Rabbi Yoshua, that how many are needed for the Kinoi?
Two.
The Machlokas was on the Stira, on the seclusion, two or one. Who says two and who says one? Excellent. Good. I like that. You're listening. Perfect. Rabbi Eliezer starts with an Aleph. One. Perfect. And we have then the Tumah, everybody said one. So let's get started here. We have another opinion as to what Rabbi Eliezer holds in our Mishnah. Masnisan hin deloi ki haitana. Our Mishnah, which says it really agrees for two for the Kinoi, is not like the following Tana. Why? Like Rabbi Eliezer, just holds it in a different way. Detani, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mishum, Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda understood Rabbi Eliezer differently. How? Hamekane l'ishto, one who warns his wife. Mekane l'piedechado l'piatzmo. It's not that everybody agrees that Kinoi is two. Kinoi can be one. Umashkilo alpishnaim. So it's flipped. One for the warning, two for the seclusion. Hey, Shivilcham l'divrei Rabbi Yossi of Rabbi Huda. The rabbis responded to him and said, wait, ain't l'davar sof. Ain't l'davar sof. The Gemara is going to explain what that means. There is no end to this. The Gemara is going to explain. My time with Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Huda, what is his reasoning to have Kinoi the warning just with one Amar Kra ba? Again, that famous ba from yesterday. Ba which took us the Amud. Ba which we're trying to understand, Eli, how that takes place, and ba and why with Tumah. That whole thing yesterday is on my mind also. Ba v'lo b'stira. So ba, he says ba here, even though we concluded that ba was in the Kinoi. Ba was one for Tumah, and everybody agreed that we derived that from that Kinoi was with two. Here it says the other way around, Ba v'lo b'stira, so two with Stira, one for the Kinoi. Says Gemara, wait, exactly the opposite from yesterday. Vima Ba v'lo b'kinoi. Maybe Ba should mean one, but the Kinoi should be two. Kinoi et kashal Tumah, answers the Gemara. No, Kinoi is compared to Tumah. Whereas yesterday, within Rabbi Eliezer, we said that the Kinoi is, or that the Stira is compared to the Tumah. They can both be one. Kinoi had two, the warning had two, but seclusion and Tumah had one. Yet today, it's the other way around. Because the Kinoi is in the same pasuk. We had this pasuk yesterday. That the warning to his wife, and she became Tame. Says the Gemara, wait, why are we comparing Kinoi to Tumah? Stiranami et kashal Tumah. The seclusion is also compared to Tumah. Why? Diksiv in Nistra v'hin mitumah. Again, these psukim, again, from yesterday, just flipped in terms of the way we're asking them. Says the Gemara, ha'u l'kama shir stira. This, that pasuk of the Nistra v'hin mitumah, that's coming to teach us how long is the seclusion for. K'dei Tumah hu da'asa. That's so that the actual the actual act can happen, and Bezrat Hashem tomorrow we'll discuss time, a time frame on that. Hishiva Chama Divrei Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Now the Chama are going to answer Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Ein Lo Davar Sof, which is we said we're going to discuss in the Gemara. What does it mean Ein Lo Davar Sof? If we have one for Kinoi and two for Stira, why is it Ein Lo Davar Sof? What's the difference? There's no end to this. Why is there no end to this? My news. What are we talking about? The Zimin is like Kani Vamar Kanai. Oh, maybe the husband's never going to actually warn him. Maybe the husband's not actually going to warn him, but he's going to say, oh, I warned you. And then the stira happened with two. Because what happens when we say Eid Echad, one witness, it could also mean the husband, we said. Eid Echad, well, Piatzma. We had the Tosfos HaRosh yesterday.
Is he reliable as an aid because he's related to the...
Excellent, excellent. We had the Tosfos HaRosh yesterday on the Mishnah, which said maybe he's more reliable. That's why the Mishnah said both. Because he's so connected, he doesn't want this to happen. Probably not, right? So therefore, maybe he is very, very...
No.
Sorry? Correct. That's quite a... The marriage would have to be on such a level that he wants his wife to go through this total process. You know, who is it that suggests... Right? Somebody suggested yesterday that maybe they do want because they want a child.
Having been in that business for many years, I know that's possible.
Okay. Sadly, that might be possible. Tov. Hopefully we... Tov.
Is she becoming... At this point, you really have problems.
Right. So a marriage counselor is probably a better idea than warning a wife not to be sota. We're going to discuss on the bottom whether or not we can do that nowadays. Anyways, so we'll see how that works. So, Ein Lo Davar Sof, right? Maybe he's going to not warn his wife and say, oh, I warned you, and now two witnesses are coming for stira. Says Gemara, wait. Hola Mishnah Sinu, Ein Lo Davar Sof? So, only in this case, Ein Lo Davar Sof. But what happens in our Mishnah when we have two for kinoi and one for stira? There is an end to that. Why is it Zimin Dolo Statar? Because maybe you're right. Two witnesses will be there for the warning, but only one will be there for the stira. So maybe the yichud never happened, and Amar will say Statar. Ah, yo, it really happened. So two people will be there for the warning, but then when the stira happens, the seclusion, just he's there and he's like, oh, it really happened. So why are we worried that he's going to lie about the warning but not lie about the seclusion? Amar Yitzchak bar Yosef, Amar Biochan, you're right. Af l'divrei Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, Ein Lo Davar Sof. So too here, it's Ein Lo Davar Sof. But generally, yeah, it's always Ein Lo Davar Sof. Whether it's one witness on the warning, whether it's one witness on the seclusion, always Ein Lo Davar Sof. Says the Gemara, Af l'divrei Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, v'lo mibayin l'mishnah seinu. Do we really have the same problem in our Mishnah? That's not true. Adarab, exactly the opposite. Mishnah seinu, ikar, hasam lek ikar. For a husband and wife to get to the point where there's two witnesses to be there for the stira, which means that the husband's already suspect of his wife, suspicious of his wife, and then there's two witnesses to watch the warning, and then they say she goes into stira, that's already into the process.
Is she going to make it obvious that witnesses can see what she's doing? You would think if she's fooling around, she would want to keep it quiet.
Correct. So she's not actually, the witnesses don't actually see the act itself. Mm-hmm. They just see, oh, she's going into that room with that man and she's locking the door for a certain period of time. Mm-hmm. But the act's not actually seen. That's the tumma, that's actually the act, and one person can just see the act. And what the act means, that's not for right now, it's in the Gemara elsewhere as to what they actually have to see.
You know, I would just think she'd want to be a little bit more circumspect.
Correct. So
have people watching her.
She's probably not going into a hotel in the middle of the day, but maybe she's off in the side of town and two witnesses happen to be passing by and see her going to a hotel room. Mm-hmm. It could be. Could be. Mm-hmm. So says Gemara, wait, so here, don't we have a... meaning in our Mishnah, we do have that process where it started with two witnesses watching. So it's a much harder start to have. It's much less likely. Whereas here, it's not. The husband can just say, I warned her. Oh, yeah, I did. And then the two witnesses can come later, but that's an easier process to take place. So answers the Gemara. What does that mean here? Eli Yidmar Hachi Yidmar. So this is what we mean about the words Ein Lo Davar Sof. Amar Yitzchak bar Rav Yosef. Bar Yosef Amar Rebbe Yochanan. L'divrei Rebbe Yosi Rebbe Yehuda. V'af l'mishnah saying Ein Lo Davar Sof. According to Rebbe Yosi Rebbe Yehuda, who holds that it's one and then two, one witness is for kinoi, two witnesses for stira, he says, oh, you're right, in the Mishnah, it's also like that. But really, we know the way we hold our Mishnah, both opinions, seem to be that it's not like that. It's harder to get started in the Mishnah because two witnesses are needed for the actual kinoi. Here's where I wanted to get you to yesterday, so I'd start to say, perhaps I'll speak a little bit slower now. Amar Rabbi Chinan Misura. Nowadays, lo lema inish leitzei bizman hazeh. A person should not tell his wife nowadays, lo tistri b'hadei ploni. Don't be miyached with that certain man. Dilma, why not? Dilma kaimon k'rabiyosi b'rabi Yehuda. Maybe we hold like k'rabiyosi b'rabi Yehuda, who said what? How much for kinoi? How many witnesses? This was just the opinion that we just had.
One for
the kinoi. Amar kinoi al pi atzmo. He can even give the kinoi by himself, umistatra. And then she's going to go into yichud, v'leko inna meisota l'mivdaka. And maybe two witnesses will be there for the yichud, and all of a sudden, there are no sota waters to check her. V'ka'asar la'ilavei yisura de lo'olam. And then she's going to be usher to husband forever. So therefore, a person nowadays should not do it. We know in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, once we started to sin, once things were on a downhill spiral, there was no more Mesota. If there's no more Mesota to determine what her status is, then she's usher to be with her husband forever. So husbands, if you got issues, if we have issues, let's try to take it up in different kinds of ways. There's great ways to take that up, but let's not warn our wives not to be miyachid with somebody.
See, where most of the times that these things happen, it's when the wife works in a place where the husband, like, is an employer or whatever, and it's hard to get around something like that.
Right, so in those cases, just don't warn the wife. Just don't warn, just don't talk to her, hear her out, communicate.
Hire a private one.
Now, that wasn't where I was going, but that's also an idea. Yes. Said the Rishash, what do you mean? What word did we just say? Dilma? Take a look at times ago. Dilma, Kaimalon, Kribiosi. Don't warn your wives today. Why not? Dilma. Because Dilma, Kaimalon, Kribiosi, Rihuda. Maybe we hold like him. What else in Halacha? Do you hear Rabbi Haber every morning say, yesterday, there was a Chazanish that said no. Do we say like, oh, maybe somebody else is not okay, so we should never do this, and da 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 da. No, there's opinions in Halacha, there's a machlokas. We hold like this opinion. Who do we hold like? Well, no. Here, we're not really sure. So, right, we have yeses and noes. Maybe we hold like the other sides that don't do it. Says Rishash, what are we doing here? Are we so whimsical? Why can't we make a decision? Says Rishash beautifully, you're right. Because generally, there's Halacha, there's a Yachid and a Rabin. Rabin was in our Mishnah, seemingly. A Yachid opinion was in the Gemara. Of course we should hold like the Rabin. Says the Rishash, no. Yes, that's usually the case, but in our case, we're bound to have some opinions that maybe they do hold that the kinu is also with one. So it's not necessarily the case that we have a yachid and the rabbim, it's unclear exactly what the opinions are in this case. This is unusual, but generally we don't say, Dilma, maybe the halacha is like this, and take on every single chomer in the world. That's generally not Judaism, that's not what we do.
I understand. Why are we yours different?
Because here we're about to have some opinions that might, we're not sure, but they might outweigh the rabbim side.
What are we doing?
Coming up. Oh, yeah. And therefore, generally, it's Yachid and the Rabin. We hold like
it wasn't Rabin though; it's two Yachidim also.
Which is two. So if we have two opinions that hold two for Kinoi, and then one opinion that holds one for Kinoi in the Gemara, then it's a two against one.
Okay.
But now, if we're gonna have other opinions that seem to hold also one for Kinoi, then it can outweigh that balance. But because it's unclear, says the Rishash, therefore we have a Dilma. But generally, we don't hold like Dilmas. Maybes. That's not who we are. We're not wishy-washy. Amrei Shalakish Malashon Kinoi. Here we go. What is the Lashon of Kinoi? What does the word Kinoi mean? We spoke about it a lot. The warning. But what does the word Kinoi actually mean? Davar ha-matil kina beinah lebein acherim. It actually causes anger. It breeds jealousy. It's anger between her and others. Why? Alma kasavar. It must mean that Reish Lakish holds Kinoi al piatzmo. Why is that the case? Because we must infer from this, Eli, that Reish Lakish holds that Kinoi, he can do it by himself. Why? The kule amalo yadi dekani la, and everybody doesn't know that she was warned. Let's say this woman's very outgoing and friendly, okay, with a lot of people. Then all of a sudden, the husband is getting a little bit suspicious, and he tells her, you cannot be miyached. So all these guys that knew her, all of a sudden she's being very aloof, and she's not talking to them, but they don't know that because the warning was just by the husband in private, so nobody knows about the warning. Who's this woman? All of a sudden, oh, she's too cool for us now. She's not talking to us now. What's going on here? So that's going to breed jealousy. That's going to cause anger. That's the Lashon of Kinoi, says Reish Lakish. Rav Yemer bar Rav Shalmei Mishmei Dabai Omar. He says what? No. What's the Lashon of Kinoi? Dabar hamatil kina. It's not that it's jealousy or anger outside the marriage with the whole world, but it's really something that will cause jealousy within the marriage or anger within the marriage itself. Really, what's the case here? We must hold that Rav Shlamya, in the name of Abaya's holding, that the Kinoi is with two Adim. See how we're deriving what they hold based on the way they explain what the word Kinoi means. Interesting. Because in this case, when two witnesses warn somebody, we generally hold that becomes public information. As Rashi explains right down here, they're not going to hate her. Oh, the husband warned. Oh, yeah, oh, everybody knows. Front page news. The husband warned her. Of course, that's why she's not coming out and talking to us right now. But she's going to hate her husband. Husband, why did you warn me? Do you not trust me? What's going on? Therefore, that's more inner marriage, but outside people won't be upset. Top of Daf, of Gimel, Amad Aleph. Alma Kasavar Dasar Lekanos. So what do we see from here? Alma Kasavar Dasar Lekanos. That we see from here, that it's Dasar Lekanos, that we just said a number of lines ago, that we cannot be Mekane our wives, that's not a smart thing to do these days. We should find other ways, as we said, to have shalom bias. Man damar mutar lekanos, and apparently there's an opinion that says that it's mutar lekanos, that one is able to warn his wife. Mao lashon kinoy, apparently it's a machlokas here. So what would he hold that the word kinoy means? Amar Nachman bar Yitzchak, ein kinoy el lashon hasra. More simple, it's not jealousy, it's not anger, it's not causing tension, it's just a language of hasra. V'cheinu omer, and he's the first one that brings a pasuk. What's the pasuk says Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak? Vayikane Hashem la'artzo. Right at the end there, right in Yoel. And that Yoel, Rashi explains here, from Yoel, where earlier in the pasuk, Yoel is prophesizing that Erzo will be overrun by locusts, but if Klal Yisrael repents, then Hashem is going to drive the pests away. Vayikane Hashem la'artzo. Hashem is going to drive those pests away. We have a Rashi in Parsha's Bo, which we all know, right? That says that the locust will never again be like that. So how is it going to be so intense here? And Yoel, Rashi explains that it was a different kind of locust. So you can have a similar kind of thing, but a different kind of locust. Great. So here Vayikane means just a simple warning. Tanya, Hayri Meir Omer, Adam over Aver Beseser. Oh, so because we see here in concept that in Sota, that a woman can do an Avera in private, and then all of a sudden she's going through this very public, embarrassing process. Adam over Avera Beseser, as Rashi says, Beseser, Kigon Isha Prutza Overas Beseser, in this case, the Kadosh Baruch Hu Machers Alav Bagaloi, and Hashem's going to call out, Hashem's going to make it public information. Shnemar V'Avra Alav Ruach Kina. Because it says v'avar lav ruach kina, and that word avar says the Gemara v'ein avera el lashon hachraza, and the word avera, like passing over, is some sort of announcement. Where do we know that from? Shenemar v'itzav Moshe in Sefer Shemos v'itzav Moshe, and Moshe commanded v'yaviru kol b'machane, and they exclaimed, and that was a loud proclamation in the machane itself. Kabbalistically, we have to know from the Orach Yisharim. It's what we know from the Arizal, who, by the way, he used to read faces. He says that sometimes we do an aver in private, and we think, oh, you know, it's just us. But it somehow it does show on our face. It does show in our eyes. It does show in our face. It's not just between us, and nobody knows about it. But for those that can read faces, our averas are out there for those who are able to see. Reish Lakish Amar Ein Adam Over Aver Elim Im Kein Nichnaso Nichnas Bo Ruach Shtus. Famous line says Reish Lakish: a person does not do an avera only in the case where he's overcome by what's called a ruach shtus. A ruach shtus. How do we define ruach shtus?
Foolishness.
Foolishness. Thank you. Foolishness. Excellent. Shenemar. Let's discuss that in just a moment. Let's just read the pasuk first. Ish ish kisista ishto. Again, from the context here in Sota, in Parshas Naso. Ish ish kisista ishto. If a man will siste ishto, which means to like kind of turn away, sistexiv. Really, the Marsha explains that lissatos with a samach means to turn away. Why have sista with a sin, a shin, instead of a samach? Says the Marsha, that means that the shin is screaming out for us to learn a different word from it, and therefore that word is shtus. Says the Maharal, that means that every time we do an aver, even today, we're overcome by ruach shtus. What does that mean? That means that we become some sort of shota, because we don't recognize that Hashem is in front of us. If we only knew that Hashem was in front of us, Shivis Hashem Lenegdi Tamid, that Hashem was really in front of us all the time, there was no way we would ever do a sin, ever. It must mean that at those moments, when we do a sin, we have forgotten that Hashem is truly in front of us. Says Rabbi Waxman, in his very powerful, you know, in a trademark kind of way, that if the Chavetz Chaim was our roommate, for instance, would we ever be late for shachars, wake up late, sleep in, speak Lashon Hara at night? The Chavetz Chaim is in our room. Whoa, we'd be careful everything we say and how we say. Oh, is this Lashon Hara? Is that? We make sure we know everything. But he's not. I told somebody at the office the other day. I left the office for Mincha. I came back, and a secular colleague of mine who sits right beside me, who is a non-believer, she said, like, you know, like, how was prayer? And I said something along the lines of, if I only treated my conversation with God like I would treat conversation with a CEO or a very important investor, and my prayers would be so much more powerful. If I only prepared with what I'm going to say, how I'm going to present myself, how I'm going to interact, what if he asks me such and such, how would I answer, then it would be a much more powerful prayer itself. We trample on a little bit, but if we have that recognition that Hashem is truly in front of us and who Hashem is, then we can reach tremendous heights.
Her reaction?
Sorry?
Her reaction?
She liked it a lot. I think it was the greatest conversation, it was very short, it was the greatest conversation I ever had with her at the office about Judaism matters. It was almost like hinting and symbolic, so maybe she liked it. Or maybe it was about investors and they're meeting investors. I don't know. But anyways, Tov. The Shemi Shula brings down a little bit of a different approach to this line, and he says it's not that like we're overcome with a ruach shtus per se, but it's the way we should treat others. So if a friend of ours, somebody who we know, does an avera, he sins, then it's oi, oi, poor guy. We have pity on him. He was overcome with a ruach shtus. Oh, look at him! What's he doing? He's But we should be able to treat other people well, think about other people, and kind of have pity on them. When somebody else, we all sin, so people should have pity on us, we should have pity on everybody else when we see somebody else sinning and not judging them incorrectly. Continues the Gemara here. Tana Dvei Reb Yishmo, about 12 lines down or so on the daf. Tana Dvei Reb Yishmo. Mipnei ma mina Torah eid echod besota. Why, going back to what we said yesterday, that eid echod, one eid, is believed by sota, by tuma, and again, Mark's question yesterday about eid echod and emin v'surin in general and concept, we're going to have to bring that up and discuss that more, shereg laim ladavar, because there's a reg laim ladavar, there's circumstantial evidence. Shereg kino v'nistara, again, there was kinoi, there was warning v'nistara, and there was the seclusion, regardless, you know, however many eidim there were on both sides of that, v'eid echod mi'ida shi tamea, and then one eid testifies that she is tameh. But there's circumstantial evidence already, so we're going to at least go out on a limb there to believe that eid. Amalei or papala baya v'ha ki ksivi kinoi basar stir v'tumahu d'ksiva. But wait, when we do say it in the pasuk, the tuma, it seems to be that the kinoi is coming afterwards. If you take a look here in the psukim, Rashi explains it. Alma, just a few lines up from where we are, the second last line in the Rashi. Alma below kinoi nami erechon mehemon betuma. It seems to be that because kinoi in the Torah here is mentioned after the stira, I'm not going to go through the psukim, but feel free to take a look. In Nusso, it comes up in Yud Beis, in Yud Gimel. Those are the psukim there where kinoi comes up right after the stira or right after the tuma. So it seems like there's not kinoi in stira beforehand. So why is eid echod believed? Says the Gemara. Shroglam. Amarlei v'avar. You're right, that even though it seems like the kinoi is coming afterwards, in the flow of the psukim in Parshas Naso, v'avar, it says, u'kvar avar. That means that the kinoi already happened. Even though the kinoi comes up in the psukim beforehand, afterwards, v'avar, alav ruach kina, means that v'avar, the kinoi happened beforehand, even though it's out of context. Why exactly it is, I'm not sure. Why the psukim goes out of the logical flow, I'm not exactly sure, but v'avar kind of puts the kinoi back into place in the flow.
This is a new shita, needs also an eid echod for tumah? Or that's...
That was what we had before. And now we're just bringing up the psukim to reinforce that. El miyata v'avar lachem kol chalutz, when Moshe is kind of telling Bnei God and Reuben and Chati Shevet Menashe, that commanding them to cross the Yarden with Yoshua, it says v'avar. But wait, Moshe is telling it to them, so they didn't do it yet. So seemingly, v'avar is in the future, it's not in the past. So why do we say v'avar is in the past? Kolchot hachinami, so too it's in the past. No, wait, in the past, it has to be in the future. Pasuk midiksev, no. Because it says further in the pasuk there, v'nich b'sha'ar tzafnei Hashem, v'achar tashuvu, mashma delaba. That the psukim there are explicit, that v'avar is referring to future context. But here in the context, it doesn't make sense. Kinoi can't be after the tumah. Okay. Now she had intimacy with this man. And then all of a sudden, oh, then her husband warned her. Oh boy, that's a bad warning. It doesn't make sense. So the kinoi had to be beforehand. That's where it makes sense. Tana Devei Rebbe Shmo. Ein Adam Mekana L'Sho Elam Kein Nechmaso Baruch Shtus. What we said before, that a person does not, or kind of putting two things together, because we don't do the kinoi these days. Here, in the Academy of Rebbe Yishmo, it was taught that a person does not warn his wife, Elam Kein Nechmaso Bo Ruach. Unless he's overcome by some sort of emotion. Shenemar, v'avar alav ruach kina v'kines ishto. He's going to have some sort of emotion, and then he's going to warn his wife. My ruach, says the Gemara, what is this word? Ruach, Rabban Ami, ruach tuma. Rav Ashi Amar, ruach tara. There's machlokas. Is this a good thing, or is this a bad thing? He's going to warn his wife, he's not. What type of ruach is this? Says the Iyun Yaakov, just to explain that, elu v'elu divrei Elokim chayim. Why? Why? Because Ruach Tuma is really where she's righteous. She wasn't deserving of this warning. Ruach Tara is really where she was warning and she needed it. And therefore, that's a good Ruach that he had to warn her. umistavra, it makes sense to say kamandam a ruach tara. And it must mean, it makes more logical sense to say that it was a ruach tara. Why? The Tanya, because we have a brisa of a kineis ishto, that one warns his wife, rishus, divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says one's allowed to warn his wife. Rabbi Kiva amar chova. Rabbi Kiva says, no, a chova, one has to warn his wife. So the Gemara, Iyamar Bishlam a ruach tara shaper. If one says that it's a ruach tara shaper, that's fine. Eliyamar ruach tuma rishus v'chova luli inish ruach tuma benashe. If we're going to say that it's a ruach tuma, that once it's a bad ruach for a husband to have to warn his wife, then how do we have a machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yishmael if it's a rishus or a chova to warn one's wife? It's a bad thing to do. Hold on one second. Didn't we just start the shiur that, or a few minutes into the shiur, that we do not warn our wives today? It's not a good thing to warn our wives. And then all of a sudden, we have this opinion where like ruach, rishus, chova, reinforcing the question that the Rambam holds that it's a chova. It's a chova. So talk about a ruach tumah, talk about a bad thing to do. It's a chova, says the Rambam. How does the Rambam paskin like this? It seems to be that we had before that the Mishnah seemed to say, right? The Mishnah said, ha mekaneh. And on yesterday's daf, we said, ha mekaneh seems like a bidyevet, not a lechathila, one who warns his wife. But really, one shouldn't warn his wife. The Rambam says that it's a chova to warn one's wife, if that's the right thing to do. So as the Tosfos Yom Tov explains the Rambam, just more of a Rambam principle, the Rosh Hashanah said, even though when the Mishnah could say something, that if there's a Rambam on the other side in a Braisa, then the Rambam could hold like a Rambam in the Braisa and go against a Mishnah. A general, for those who want Rambam principles, there's one to chalk up for it. The Rambam can hold against a Mishnah like the Rambam. Here we go. Gufa. We're now going to have two more machlokas. We just brought up tangentially a machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and between Rabbi Akiva as to whether it's a reshus or a chova to warn one's wife. So we're going to bring this machlokas up again and two more where they hold the same opinions in other contexts. And then we're going to go through explaining each of those contexts, which is going to bring us for the next amud or so. Let's see that inside. Gufa, the kineis ishto reshus, divrei Rabbi Shmuel. To warn one's wife that is reshus, says Rabbi Shmuel, in the next three cases, that is always reshus, it's allowed. Rabbi Kiva omer chova, Rabbi Kiva says no, it's a chova. Lo itama, second context, lo itama, that a kohen can be mitame himself to one of the seven relatives, reshus, divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Again, Rabbi Shmuel says that it's a reshus, it's allowed for a kohen to do so. Rabbi Kiva omer chova, Rabbi Kiva says no, it's not just a reshus, but it's a chova. The kohen has to. The olam bem tavo, do the third context, that we should always enslave our eved kananis, we should not let them go free. Rishus de Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says again, a rishus. We could always enslave them. We don't have to. We could let them go free. Whereas Rabbi Kiva omer chova, Rabbi Kiva says, it's a chova. It's forbidden to emancipate these slaves. Omer le papa labaya. Rabbi Papa says to Abaya. V'amri la Rav Misharshi le Rava, or some say it was Misharshi who said to Rava. Lema Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva, b'chol tor kula hachi pligi. Demar Savar, Demar Omar Rishus, Mar Omar Chova? What's going on here? We have this Rishus and Chova? These are mitzvos in the Torah. What do you mean Rishus and Chova? Doesn't it seem to be yes a mitzvah or no a mitzvah? Mitzvahs aren't like, oh, okay, this is a, one could do this mitzvah if they like, but this one's a Chova? Don't we have 613 all around? We'll see that in a moment. Omar Le Hochi B'Kroi Pliki. No. Here we're arguing about certain psukim. And it says Tosis on top. A fascinating Tosis. Rishmol Omer Rishos. And let's do the first few lines. Tamal Rebbe. Rebbe's in wonderment. Vichi Les Luha De Omar B'Shili Mesechas Makos. At the end of Mesechas Makos. Sheish Meos. There are Taryag Mitzos. Nemr L'Moshe Misinai. There's 613 mentioned to Moshe at Sinai. In the end of Gemara and Mesechas Makos. How does it explain that? Because Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. Moshe's Gematria 611. Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. 613 was taught to us, 2 were given by Hashem, everybody agrees 613, and the Meiri also is so excited, the Meiri's like, you know, we have machlokas all around Shas, on almost everything there's machlokas. 613, nobody argues that there's 613. What those are, that's machlokas, as Tosfos is about to explain. And Tosfos continues to explain that you're right, so in these contexts, Rabbi Shmuel might say that it's Rishus, and Rabbi Kiva says Chova, because they hold that there are other mitzvos in other places. So not that they argue on that there are 613. It's just a question of what are those 613 and where they come up. V'kinei sishto. So let's continue here. The first one, v'kinei sishto. Let's see these psukim and how they respond to these psukim and learn out whether or not it's reshus or a chova. Reshus, divrei Rabbi Shmuel. That if a husband warning his wife in the context of a sota, says Rabbi Shmuel, it's a reshus. Rabbi Kiva amar chova, and Rabbi Kiva says that it's a chova. My time is Rabbi Shmuel. Why does Rabbi Shmuel say that it's a reshus? Savrala ki aitana. He holds like the following Tanya. The Tanya we learned in a Braisa. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer. Kilafisha Amra Torah Lo Sisna Esochicha Bilvavecha. That because the Torah says that we shouldn't hate our brother in our heart. Yochol Kagonzu, I might have thought to say, don't do kinoi, don't hate, like don't create hate, don't hate. It's not a good thing to do. Tamalomar, we have another pasuk that says, Vavar Alav Ruach Kina, the Kines Ishto. So we see here that it's allowed, meaning that even though we have a pasuk that seems to go against doing kinoi, we have a pasuk that seems to allow it because a husband can warn his wife, according to Rebbe Yishmo. The Rebbe Akiva. Now what about Rebbe Akiva who says chova? What does he learn with these psukim? Kinyach rina ksev. No. There's one of these psukim is for the actual rishus, and one is for a chova. So because we have a rishus, where, right, one is for a rishus, and the second is for a chova, it comes up twice. Rabbi Shmuel, why does it say it? One second, did I just skip a line here? It says the word kinoi twice. So says Rabbi Kiva, because it says the word kinoi twice, kinoi achrin aksev. One kinoi is for the rishus, like Rabbi Shmuel, but another kinoi is for the chova. That even though we have a pasuk that says that we shouldn't hate our brother in our heart, one kinoi says you're allowed to, another kinoi says an extra on top screaming out to be learned, that a husband actually has to be Mekane's wife in this type of context. Rabbi Shmuel, why did he say the word kinoi twice? In Rebbe Yishmael, I di deboy lemichta vihinitma'a, that we have both sides because it says the word vihinitma'a, and vihilonitma'a, because we have whether or not she's guilty or innocent, it says that twice, ksivnami vikines ishto. So too it says vikines ishto, and kino, and the word kinoi is used twice in the Torah. Not because it's screaming out for us to learn chova instead of rishus, but rather because it has to use it two times because we have two contexts, we have two cases. She's innocent and she's guilty. So we want to bring up the warning in both of those cases. Lechenatona devei Rebbe Shmuel. It's Rebbe Shmuel here, and he's quoting his academy. Detona devei Rebbe Shmuel. Kol parasha shenemar v'nishneis, lo nishneis el b'shvil davar shenes chadesh bo. That every time we have a new type of parsha, it's only taught where we can actually learn something else from it. What does it mean that we can learn something else from it? I was wondering here, right? It's the concept that because we have guilty and innocent, so we have a new concept that we're learning guilty and innocent. So therefore, he kind of throws in the fact that it says the word kinei again, and it's not coming to say chova. That's why he says rishus. I was bothered by him. We don't want time here. So he says what? I want to have this three times. He says what? He says that every time you learn something new, it's only for a chiddush that's in it, right? So we have the word kinei. He say that there's nothing that we can learn from the word kinoi. It's just put into the concept of that there's two cases. So let's say the word kinoi again. But wait, isn't every time we bring something up, it's something new? And therefore, we have to learn, it's screaming for us to learn something from it? So shouldn't we learn something from the word kinoi also? The only answer I came up with, if anybody has another answer, then please let me know, is that you're right. That's why it says, kol parsha shenemra v'nishneis. Every parsha that's taught. Not every word that's taught. Every parsha that's taught. So once we have another parsha, another case, another few words, innocent and guilty, two cases, then we put the word kinoi inside of it. But it's not that the word kinoi has to be learned something from it. Generally, the parsha itself. So, let's move on. If anybody has any other insights, please let me know. I'd love to hear it. By the way, we should start a WhatsApp group or an email group also so we can share insights or questions or stuff throughout the day, any updates, etc. Loitama, second concept, that a Kohen should not be Matami to his, that a Kohen could be Matami to his one of his seven relatives, mother, father, brother, sister, son, a daughter, or spouse. Rishus, Rabbi Shmuel. Again, so Rabbi Shmuel says that it's Rishus. Rabbi Kiva, and Rabbi Kiva says, no, it's a Chovah. My time is Rabbi Shmuel. Why does Rabbi Shmuel say again that it's a Rishus? I did exiv, and more like Kohanim ben Aaron, Martelin, Lenefesh lo yitama bamav. We have a pasuk that says that Kohanim cannot be Mitame. It's Strichel Mitav lo yitama. Then we need the other words, lo yitama, but he could be Mitame to one of the relatives. He could be. Not that he has to be, but lo yitama. Just going back against what the fact that he was forbidden to be mitami to anybody, so lo yitama, he could be mitami to one of the relatives. Rabbi Kiva, who says chova, what does he do that? Mechim l'sheiro nafka. No, but there's another pasuk. Mechim l'sheiro nafka, to one of his relatives, he could be different, because we have two psukim. Lo yitama, lamali. So why do we have this other pasuk of lo yitama, if he learns it from l'sheiro? Lamali, l'chova. Says Rabbi Kiva, it's a chova. Again, similar parallel each of these cases. Rabbi Kiva has two psukim, one is for the rishus, another is for the chova. Whereas Rabbi Shmuel only deals with one. Rabbi Shmuel, lo yitama. Why does he learn from the word lo yitama? If he says that we can learn it from, that it's just a rishos, what does he learn from the extra pasuk? The ein mitame levarim. What does Rabbi Shmuel learn? That he cannot be mitame for her evarim, or a family member's evarim. Rashi seems to say, the last Rashi here on the Amud, the ein mitame levarim echad me'elu mukashchin ve'evarim noflin ein mitame len. That if one of his relatives are have this terrible sickness or whatever, and limbs are kind of falling off, and he can't be metame to one of the limbs. But lo yitama, to the whole person he can be. Not to the limbs, but to the whole person he can be. Turning over to Amud Beis, Rabbi Kiva, where does he learn about the limbs? Imkain lifto rachamana la vilisho. So just the word la yitama lamali shmamina. Therefore, learn from this both. Rabbi Shmuel, what does Rabbi Shmuel do with that extra word? I need ksiv la. I need kasav la kasanami yitama. Because it says the word la, it says again yitama. So again, Rabbi Shmuel has the because once you said the word la, just throw in the word yitama. It's the context. Look at the Tani Devei Rabbi Shmuel again. The Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel. Kol parasha shenemar v'nishneis. Every time we say and it's taught again, the same concept. Lo nishneis elabishvil davar shenis charishba. Again, because it had the word law, just throw in the word yitama. So he's kind of putting in lesser of an emphasis on those two words. Rabbi Kiva is putting more of an emphasis on those two words. Third concept here, le'olam bem tavodu, that our Evet Kananim should stay with us forever. Rishus, the Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva Amar Chova, and again, Rabbi Kiva says Chova. So what are the psukim behind this? My time at the Rabbi Yishmael. Why does Rabbi Yishmael say that it's a Rishus? I did iksiv lo sechaya kol neshama in Sefer Devarim, that we say that when we're going to conquer the seven nations of Canaan included, that we shall not leave anybody alive. It's derech naimi l'michtav l'olam em tavodus. We can also write, we need also write, that we can leave our Eved Canaanim alive. By the way, who are these Eved, if we have to kill them, who is an Eved Canaani? It's a woman from Canaan who married a man from outside of Canaan, and the descent, the religious descent in the non-Jewish world goes after the father and not the mother. Interesting. So that's why, even though we have to kill all those nations, when we wipe them out, an Eved Canaani is one whose the mother is from one of the seven nations, but the father is not. And therefore we have that pasuk, itzrich nami l'meftav l'olam b'em tavodu, that because we have the concept of that we have to kill them out, we need also the pasuk of that they should all, that they're able to serve with us forever. L'mishri echad mikol lumos, sheba alaknanis v'holim men obein shatar shai likno so. That's from one of the men from the other nations, not from one of these seven nations, who married a eved, who married a knanis, a woman, and they have a child, that we're able to have a child that goes after paternal descent. How do we know that we can have this person as a slave? From the Toshavim Hagarim Imachem. I spent a lot of time on this last night. We have Mibnei HaToshavim. Means that, according to Rashi, at least it seems that when a woman gets married, she stays where she is, whereas the husband kind of goes towards her. Later on in life, they can go back to where the husband is from. That's kind of the way it goes. So v'gam mipnei hatoshavim, from the kids who are living there or who are residents, hagarim imachem, those kids that are residents, they were born there because their mother's from there, but the father came from outside, from a different land. Mehem tifnu, them you can take as a slave. Yochol af aknani shebo al echad alach zman umo solim men rabein shatar v'shay l'knosav evad. So maybe also a man Canaan came on a woman from one of the other seven nations. Maybe them you can also take them as a slave. Opposite, father and mother. Tamlam Rasher Holidu Ba'artzechem, know that they're born in your land. Min ha'noladim ba'artzechem v'lo min ha'garim ba'artzechem. And as I said before, that we say that if a father is from outside, if a father is from the land and the woman's from outside the land, then at least according to the way the Torah describes residents, where people that live there, then the father would go towards the mother is, and that's going to be outside, so they won't be born in the land itself. Rabbi Kiva, and Rabbi Kiva says that it's a chova. Where does he know that from? Mi mehem tiknu nafka, that you can actually enslave them, that we can employ the son of a Kanani woman and another man. Lo lamem dav ta'avodu lamalis. Why do we need these two psukim again? L'chova. So again, we have the same similar parallel, all three of the cases. Rabbi Shmuel seems to say that we learn one pasuk for a rishus, another pasuk is for something else, whereas Rabbi Kiva says that the two psukim are coming to reinforce rishus and then a chova. Rabbi Shmuel b'hem v'lo b'acheichem. And sorry about that. Rabbi Yishmael Bohem Lo Bachechem. That means that we can the word Bohem, the extra word Bohem, according to Rabbi Yishmael, says that it's a Rishos. What do we use that word for? Velo Bachechem. That means that the type of work we can give to an Eved Kenani can be harsher than the type of work we can give to an Eved Ivri. Rabbi Akiva b'acheichem misefa dekra nafka. And where does Rabbi Akiva learn that there are certain types of work that we can't give to a Eved Ivri? U'b'acheichem b'nei Yisrael ish b'achiv lo sirdu bo Befarach, says Rabbi Kiva, from the end of the pasuk, that we shouldn't give them backbreaking work. According to the Rambam, there's three types of backbreaking work. Work that is generally backbreaking in the physical sense. Work that is meaningless is also, that was the type of work that the Yidden did in Mitzrayim. And number three, just menial jobs. I mean, those type of jobs we can't give to Eved Ivri, but we could give to an Eved Kanani. Rabbi Shmuel, I did exiv uba chechem, exiv na'im bohem. But according to Rabbi Shmuel, because we already said Uvachechem, we also say Bahem, meaning that we're throwing it into the same kind of package, the Chetan Dvei Rabbi Shmuel. Once again, for the third time today, the Tana Dvei, the Rabbi Shmuel, Kol Parashish Nem Rabbi Nishneis, Lo Nishneis, El Bishvil, Dover Shenis Chadesh Ba. Again, the three arguments is that Rabbi Shmuel seems to always say that it's a Rishus, Rabbi Kiva always says the word Chova. Rabbi Shmuel holds that once we bring up a certain word or a concept, then we are able to kind of put it all together, and we don't have to learn out from the extra words in it. It's 6:39, so we'll stop. Chakra starts at 6:40 on Mondays and Thursdays. I really want to do a few more lines. There's some beautiful, beautiful Ben Yoyotas and Ian Yaakovs on the next couple lines. Agarata that's coming up. And Mirsham tomorrow, so we'll have a lot about how much is the time for Yichud, how much is the time for Yichud for husband and wife, for a Chasan and Kala. Not for husband and wife, there isn't a Yichud for husband and wife. And is an elevator considered Yichud? Is there ever a case of an elevator being considered Yichud? B'zad Hashem, all tomorrow. And just to wrap up again, I just want to say again, thanks to the TorahDownloads.com, Rabbi Nechen Miamund, allowing to host our shir on the website, TorahDownloads.com. Yesterday's shir is already uploaded, and Emirat Hashem, every day's shir will be uploaded sometime in the afternoon or evening our time. Feel free to take a look there. Have a great day.